Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Gimel. We begin on Tzadi Gimel Omud Aleph, five lines from the top. And we remind ourselves that yesterday we had brought down an opinion about Rabbi Akiva as to whether he holds a Dover Shelo Bali Olam is allowed to be acquired. Can you be Makne a Dover Shelo Bali Olam or not? So we had a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Huna Berei the Rabbi Yoshua. Rav Huna Berei the Rabbi Yoshua said that in fact Rabbi Akiva says that you cannot be Makne Dover Shelo Bali Olam, and whereas Reish Lakish said that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that a Dover Shelo Bali Olam is allowed to be acquired. And now we'll plead the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. This understanding that we just had brought down in yesterday's shir about Rabbi Akiva is in disagreement with Nachman Yitzchak, because he's going to bring down a series of Amoraim and Tanaim that all hold that the opinion is Adam Makne Dover Shelo Bali Olam. So this will agree with Reish Lakish, but not agree with the opinion of Rav Huna Brei of Yeshua. Pligi the Rav Nachman Yitzchak. This opinion of Rav Huna Brei of Yeshua is in disagreement with now what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is going to tell us. Dover Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rashi explains this is a series of Talmidim and their Rabbeim. Lavdavka, that all of them were in the generation beforehand. Some of them were in the same generation, but all of these were holding from the opinion of their Rebbe, as Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us. Rav Huna Kirav. Rav Huna holds like Rav, and Rav. Rav Kirabiyani, he holds like Rabbi Yanai, and Rabbi Yanai Kirabi Chia, and Rabbi Chia Kirabi, Rabbi Kirabeyer, Rabbi Meir Kirabi Elezeb and Yaakov, Rabbi Elezeb and Yaakov Kirabi Akiva. So each of them holds like their Rabbi or their Talmud Chover who lived in the same generation as them, and they all hold like Rabbi Akiva, who ultimately, according to this opinion of Nachman Yitzchak, holds the Omar Odomak Nedova Shelo Bali Olam, that a person is able to acquire something that isn't in the world. Now the Gemara is going to go through every one of these Amaroyim or Tanoim and show where they in fact hold that Odomak Nedova Shelo Bali Olam. So we start off with the first one of the Amaroyim, Rav Huna. Rav Huna Maihi. Where do we see that Rav Huna holds that a person is able to be Machne Dov Shelo Bali Olam, something that hasn't yet been in the world, yet he can make a kinyan on it? Where do we see this? The Itbar, because we learned in the following scenario. Hamocha peros dekol lechaver. If a person sells the fruit that are going to be growing on his palm tree, so he has dates that are going to be growing there. But right now, as Rashi points out, this is during the rainy season. So he sells it to him b'mosa gishamim, and the fruits haven't yet come into the world because they only come into the world around Nisan time. So he's selling it to him in the winter time, the fruits that will grow, but they're not there right now. So he says, Omar Rav Huna holds, Ad Shelo Bali Olam Yochol Lachzerbo, until the fruits come into the world themselves, so the seller can actually retract. It's still within his power to go and retract, because they're still not in the world yet, so he can go and retract. However, Misha Bali Olam, but as soon as they start to reach a certain stage in Nisan, where they're now considered in the world, so they blossom, so now, and Yochol Lachzerbo, the deal's a deal, because Odom is Machne Dov Shelo Bali Olam. So when he sold this produce to his friend, he is in fact no longer able to retract once it comes into the world, even though when he sold it to him, it wasn't yet in the world. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman Mar, Ach Bishabo Liolam Yochazach Lachzabo. Until he actually takes possession of it, he in fact can go and retract. But Rav Nachman admits, Rav Nachman Modina, the Ishamet Biyachal, once the person actually took it, even though he took it betos, as Rashi brings down in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Rashi there says, Sharei Kol Zman Shelo Chazar, Mochal alachilosu, since he hasn't been retracting, so he's allowing the person to eat, he's mochal to allow him to eat, not because he has the halachic right to, even though it's a mistake, he technically could say, no, you're not allowed to eat it. But since he allowed him to eat it, so therefore, in this situation, he gets to keep it. Modino di shomer biyachal. Once the person, the buyer, actually goes and eats it and takes it, so lo mafkino mina, he can't go take it away from him. So that is what Rav Nachman admits to, but in general, he says, Adam is not Machne Dov Shelo Bali Olam, whereas Rav Huna says the person is Machne Dov Shelo Bali Olam. So that's Rav Huna. Now we go to Rav. Rav was the next person in the chain of great sages. Dom Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. Rav Huna said the name of Rav. Homo lechaber, if a person says to a friend, Sod zu shani lokeach, I'm planning on purchasing this field. Ruvi tells Shimon, his friend, I'm planning on purchasing this field from Levi. And when I purchase it from him, I'm making a kinyan with you for now that you acquire this field. L'kishekochena, you are able to go and have this field from now when I go and purchase from the future. So this is a Dovah Shelo Bali Olam. He doesn't have it yet in his possession. So Reuven can't give it to Shimon because he doesn't own it yet. But he makes a kinyan with Shimon right now that says, when I do get it, it's as if you have it from right now. Therefore, it is acquired. So therefore, you see clearly that Rav holds Dovah Shalobol Yolam, you can be Makne. Where do we see the next two great Tamidei Chachamim? Rav Yanai is, and Rav Chia. So Rav Yanai holds Ki Rabbi Chia from the following story. The Rav Yanai Havalei Arisa. Rav Yanai had a regular sharecropper that would every Friday afternoon bring him, according to Rashi, the fruits that he was entitled to, as the sharecropper's share that the owner of the field, Rav Yanai, was entitled to. Tosus disagrees for various reasons. Tosus says that he gave him a present. Every week, this sharecropper would bring to Rav Yanai, above and beyond, that which he normally was required to bring to him. In any event, whether it's like Rashi, that he's bringing the fruits of the sharecropping deal, or where he was bringing extra, every Friday afternoon he would bring him these fruits. Now, one Friday afternoon he was late. How yomor nogale, Rashi explains, nogale means shor yosim ismano. It was getting very late, it was very close to Shabbos, and Rav Yanai was afraid that he wouldn't be able to take off trumas and maizes from it before Shabbos, and you're not supposed to really take off trumas and maizes on Shabbos. So what did he do? He preemptively took off the Trumas and Maisos, even before it came into his possession. Shokal, and he went and took Aser Peri, Mi Peri de Beise, Alayu, and he took fruits that he already had in his house that were Tevel, and he took Trumas and Maisos off from those fruits on the fruits that this sharecropper was going to bring to him. And he was allowed to do this because he holds Dovah Shalobo Liolam, you can be mocked on it. So even though this produce hadn't yet come into his possession, he was allowed to do this. Now, also, the kind of the Rav Chia, he then went to ask his Rebbe, Rav Chia, did he do right? So I'm like, Shaper Avadita. So Rav Chia told him, yes, you did right, because we hold Dovish Lo Bol Yolam, you can be Makne. Titania, and he says this is based upon the Pasuk, L'man Tilmad L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayamim. You have to go and fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of your life. What does this mean, all the days of your life? This is a reference, Elu Shabbosos V'Yom Tovim. This is a reference that you have to fear God on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What in the world does this mean? L'may Hilchasa, what is the practical nafkamina? What's the halacha that we learn out from this? So if you're going to tell me, Ilemo Liasure Umeichal, that a person should go fear God, in other words, go and take off Trumas and Maaseh before Shabbos, so you don't take them off on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that can't be, because the only Isser in taking off Trumas and Maaseh on Shabbos or Yom Tov is an Issa D'Rabbanan of Misakin Mona, essentially, that you're finalizing and fixing a utensil, so to say. You're making this food now edible. That's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. And we would never find the Pasuk, Yitzdurich Kral, the Mishri, Tiltu D'Rabbanan. Would we find the Pasuk that would permit you to do Tiltu? Some say it's Muksa, that's why they use the Lashon of Tiltu D'Rabbanan. Others over here have the Lashon, as you can see in the Guri and the Shas, where it says, Sorachin Lashon Tiltu, Vahavale Lemeimar, Misakin D'Rabbanan. Instead of Tilta, should have said Misakin. In any event, you don't have a pasuk to teach us that a person should be careful about not being over Din D'Rabbanan. So therefore, we turn to Tzadi Gimel on the base and understand Ella Lav Ki Haigavna. Isn't it teaching us, in fact, that the Din is that a person should go and make sure to take off the Trumas and Maisus, even on a Dover Shalo Baliyolam? And therefore, that's what is coming to tell us, that a person should be constantly L'Yiras Hashem on Shabbos and Yontif, Kol Hayomim, to teach us this din of that you can be Makna Dover Shalo Baliyolam. Amalei, Rav Yanai said to Rav Chia, but I had a dream that seems to negate saying that I did the right thing. For Akayun Bechamo, I saw in a dream, and again, when people see things in a dream, there's a shtickle truth to them, certainly. A dream is 1/60th of Nevuah, the Gemara in Brachas tells us. So it says, Koner Rotsus, he quoted this pasuk. The entire pasuk is from Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches, where it says, Ata, Hinei Vatachta Lecha Al Mishenes HaKoner HaRotsus Hazeh. That Sancheirov is telling Chizkio, you shouldn't rely upon Mitzrayim, they're a broken reed. Al Mitzrayim, Asher Yisomech, Ish Olav. You're relying on Mitzrayim to save you? It ain't going to happen. Uba b'chapo, unikova, kein paro melech Mitzrayim, l'chol abodchum olav. They're a broken reed, and that you're not going to have any support from them, and you're wasting your time relying upon them. So you see, the konarotsus is a negative thing. So Rav Yanai said to Rav Chia, but I saw this konarotsus in my dream, implying that I gave the wrong psak din, and that I wasn't allowed to go and be taking off the Trumas and Maaseh on something that was a Dovah Shalo Bal Yolam. And now we'll read the Gemara inside. My love, Halchi Karmeli, isn't the dream telling me, Rav Yanai says to Rav Chia, that you relied upon Mitzrayim, which is a bad thing, and therefore that's a reference that you said the wrong psak halacha? So Rav Chia says to him, no, lo. Halchi Karmeli, this is what the dream, where you saw this broken reed, it was telling you a different pasuk. It was telling you the following pasuk from Yeshaya. Lo yishbar, lo yichadena, that you have over here a broken reed or a piece of flax that's aflame, that it will never be extinguished. So you'll never be able to break this broken reed, and even a broken reed, and you won't be able to extinguish this flickering flame of flax. And the end of that pasuk says, Le'emes Yotzi Mishpat, because your psak halacha is truthful. So therefore, this is what the Konorotus that you saw in the dream was telling you, that your psak halacha was correct. Bottom line is, we see from here that both Rav Yana and Rav Chia hold that Oda Makna and Dovashal Boliolam. Next up in the procession was the great Tana Rebbe. Rebbe said, where do we find the Rebbe holds Oda Makna and Dovashal Boliolam? The Tanya, we learn the following brisa. The pasuk tells us, Lo Saskir Evet El Adonav, shouldn't give over a slave to his master. What is this talking about? So Rebbe Omer, this is talking about if a person purchased a slave in order to free him. But Lokeach Evet Al Menas L'Shachro, the pasuk is talking about a person who goes and purchases this Eved Kenani with the purpose of freeing him. How could this be? What are we talking about? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the cost of lay, he writes a mishtar in the document that he purchases him, and he says, when I go and purchase you, you're actually considered a free person from this moment right now. Now, right now, he hasn't yet purchased him. So this document is a Dovish Lobaliolam. And yet, he's able to be Makna, Dovish Lobaliolam. Oh, here's where you see that Rebbe also holds that you be Makna, a Dovish Lobaliolam. Rav Meir, where do we see Rav Meir, the great Tana Rav Meir, that he holds other Makna, Dovish Lobaliolam? Now, the Gisa, we have the Tnan that implies it's a Mishnah, but really, in the Masoras HaShas, he says it should be a Braisa. And therefore, the Gisa should be the Tanya. And we already learned this Bryson yesterday's share, and now we'll see it again inside. The Tanya, Omer Lishim, man says to a woman, I want you to become my wife. However, right now the only problem is, he's a guy. The man who's giving the Kedushin is a guy. And he says, La'acha, she's a guy. No, I'm going next week to the mikvah. I have my bris milah set up, and I'm going to become a yid next week. So I want to be Mekadesh you now when I become a yid. So is that good or not? Or she was a goita and she was going to the mikveh and was planning to become a Yiddish Medela in a week. So he says, when you become a Yiddish Medela, this kedusha should take effect. Or he's a slave right now, but his master is planning on setting him free. So he says, I'm giving you the kedusha now, which can't take effect while I'm a slave, but when I become a free person, I want this kedusha to take effect. Or that you're a Shivcha Kinanis right now, and you're going to be freed soon, and I want the kedusha to take effect when you're freed. Or Liacha Shimos Balech, the woman's married, and he says, when your husband dies, I want this kedusha to take effect now. Liacha Shitomus Achosech, or the man is married to his sister, and he says, when your sister dies, in other words, the man's wife, he says, I want this kedusha to take effect because you're allowed to marry your wife's sister only if the nebuch, the person's wife, passes away. So Liacha Shiachlos Lo Yivamech, or he says in the situation, this is why we brought this Gemara in yesterday to talk about this last situation, but here we're talking about the entire Braisa. The last situation was the man says, I want to be Mekadesh you after you get chalitza from your yovam. In all of these situations, he's incapable of being mekadesher right now, either a problem with him or a problem with her, and the Tanakhama holds, therefore, eina mekudesh, because it's a dovish lo boliolam, and the Tanakhama holds, you can't be makdish, a person can't be makdish, dovish lo boliolam. However, Rabbi Meir omer mekudesh, as Rabbi Meir says, no, you can. Rabbi Meir says, it's absolutely permissible. Oh, here's the right, Rabbi Meir holds, the makdish, dovish lo boliolam. Next Tana is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Where do we see Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds all the makna dov shel boliolam? The Tanya could learn the following brayse. Yes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said the following: Afilu imama, even if the person said peros aruga zu, the fruit in this row over here that are now tulushim, that have been cut already, they should be truma. I'm being mafresh from this tolush fruits. Ye truma. Alperos aruga, the Bachet's word zu, mechubarim, on this row that is still attached to the ground. So he's saying that they're not now chayev in trumas umaisos. But when they get cut, they will now be taken care of. The trumas of Isis on them will be taken care of right now with these tulushim peros. In other words, they're a dovish lo boliolam. The mechubarim ones have not yet had the chayev of trumas umaisos. Yet he's saying that these already tallish peros, I'm taking off trumas and maisos on the mechubarim, and they'll take effect when the mechubarim are actually cut. Or vice versa, he says, peros aruga, and the bachet's word again, zu, mechubarim. Well, the peros in this row over here that are connected to the ground should be trumas and maisos, al peros aruga, the bachet's the word aruga, zu tulushim, that are already detached from the ground. And lichish yaviu shlish v'yitlashu. This should take effect when they have grown a third, and now they're mechuyev in trumas ma'isus v'yitlashu. And I go and pick them, and I go and pluck them, and therefore they will then be able to be taken off as trumas ma'isus on the other fruit. So this is also a dovish lo boliolam. And yet, Once they reach a third of the growth, and they're now chayiv in trumas of ma'isus, and the nitzel, and he in fact plucks them, they are in fact dvor kayomim. They are going to be trumas of ma'isus on the previously cut fruit. So clearly, you see, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov also holds davar shelo bo liolam. A person can be makdeh davar shelo bo liolam. Finally, we get to Rabbi Akiva, the zenith of this great chain of talmidei chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says that none. We learned in the following Mishnah Nedarim. It says, if a woman says to her husband, Koneim, it should be a karban, Shani Yose Leficha. We had this again in yesterday's shir, at the end of yesterday's shir. The woman says that anything that I'm making should be also to you like a karban. So the Tanakhama says, Eino Tzorach Lahafir, because it belongs to the husband. Her handiwork belongs to the husband. That's one of the Tanai Kesu, but the husband supports her. And in turn, she gives him the value of her handiwork. Because normally the mizonos that she gets is far worth more than the little bit of handiwork that she does. Again, we pointed out, this is for her benefit. If she says, no, I make a bigger salary than you, and I'd rather keep the money for myself, and you can keep your mizonos, she has the right to do that. It's her choice. It's to protect her. In any event, the Tanakhama says, there's no reason for the husband to be made for this neder, because it belongs to the husband already, so she can't be asking him something that already belongs to him. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Go be made for the neder. Yofir, why? Because Shema Tadif Olav Yosim and Aroilo. Because maybe he really only is entitled to a portion of her handiwork. Let's say he gives him his onus for $25, so he's entitled to get back $25. If she makes more than $25, so then she technically doesn't have to give it to him. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, maybe she's going to make more than you're actually entitled to, and therefore, it would be awesome for you. As she had said, konim shani osel ficha, so you wouldn't be able to get any benefit from it. So don't take any chances and be made for the neder. And this way, if you wanted to eventually get some hanah from it, she changed the mind, she wants to give you hanah, the neder has been mufar. And therefore, this is what we see, that it's a davar shelo bo liolam. This is handiwork according to this understanding. Yesterday we gave a different understanding of it to say that it's talking about her hands, which are davar shelo bo liolam, but according to this understanding, it's talking about the produce of her hands, which is a davar shelo bo liolam. And yet, you see that Rabbi Akiva holds you can be made for it. Oh, you see that Rabbi Akiva also is of the opinion that oda makne davar shelo bo liolam. So this entire series of Amarayim and Tanoim, these great sages, all hold a oda mismakne davar shelo bo liolam. Okay, the Gemara continues now and says, "Boy, min Rishayshes, they ask the following shalav Rishayshes: Is an Eid Echad who comes and testifies that a woman's husband has passed away, biyavama mahu? Is he believed if she is waiting to then now she had no children from this husband and she would be falling to a yavam? She would be shomeres yavam. In this situation, do we allow the yibam to occur? Now, what is the possible reason not to allow the Eid Echad to be believed in this situation? Do we say time of the Eid Echad is the reasoning behind why we accept an Eid Echad is Mishum de Milsa? This is something, the Avido Liigluye, that it will eventually become revealed to everybody. Hey, the guy is alive, and this guy lied. So everybody will know that, and therefore, Lo Mashaka, who would want to ruin their reputation and make themselves into a liar by saying something that wasn't true? Mistama, it must be that it's true. And that's why we believe in Eid Echad. Tosus asked, but we gave a different reason yesterday, which will be the second reason right now, and Tosus basically explains that one reason is really built upon the other. And that we're asking right now, which is the primary reason? So is the primary reason that a person wouldn't lie, since this is something that if he wasn't sure about, he wouldn't say so, because ultimately it will reveal that he's a liar, and he doesn't want to be revealed as a liar. So he would only say this because it's vaday true. Is that the reasoning? Therefore, in this situation, when he comes and testifies that this woman's husband passed away, she's mutter to marry the oven because lo mishaker. He wouldn't lie here as well because he doesn't want to have the reputation of being a liar because everybody will know it's not true when the first husband comes back alive. Or do we say, no, Dilma, maybe the reason is, Taimod the Eid Echad, the reason why we believe in Eid Echad is like we said yesterday in the previous Shurim, Mishum Di Daika Uminsava, because she's going to really check it out. The rabbis gave her a special dispensation here, but there's going to be a tremendous penalty, Rahman al-Islam, if in fact the husband is still alive. So she's going to be Medayik and check it out, and only after she's satisfied that, yes, the husband really Nebuch has passed away, Uminsava, only then will she get married. And here, but here, you know what? She knows her brother-in-law for many years. They're good friends, and she likes her brother-in-law. So maybe we should say she's not going to check it out so well. Lo daika, and she'll uminsava, and she'll marry him without checking it out. So maybe in this situation, we shouldn't allow it to the yavama. In a regular case, we would allow it to believe the Eid Echad because lo mishaker. But here, maybe the reasoning is of Daika Uminsava, and here maybe she won't check it out so well because she likes the oven. That's the question that they ask from Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes responds to these Tamidim, Amalu Rav Sheshes, says to them, Tnisua. We learned this in our very Mishnah. What did it say there? It said, Amulah, if Now, we had learned this as a single witness. Here we'll see that it's talking about a single witness. The witness came to her and said, Meis b'nech, that your son died, and only afterwards, v'achachach meis b'alech, which means that you, in fact, your husband died without having children, because Nebuch, the child that you had, died previously, so at the time of the death of the husband, there were no children, and therefore, v'nisyaba, and your m'chuyevis in Yibam, and she went, in fact, and had Yibam with her brother-in-law Shimon. And then only subsequently, v'achachach, did they reveal, Amrullah, chilv ador, no, it was the other way around. Your husband died, and the child was still alive, and only afterwards did the child die, and therefore, this is Eishes Och Shalobimachu Mitzvah, and Nebuch, this is a real terrible situation. You're not going to be married to your brother-in-law if it's not Bimachu Mitzvah. So therefore, Teitze, you have to leave him, and Vavlad Rishon Yachun Mamze. And we said that the children born over here, whether they're before this Shmua or after the Shmua, they're going to be Mamzerim. So Rav Sheshet says, Hechi Dami, what exactly are the circumstances over here? Was it one witness who told her that her husband died, or was it two witnesses? Ilema Trey Utrey, if it was originally two witnesses told her husband died, and then two witnesses come and say that your husband's still alive, so my chosid the Sam says, Ahani, smoke ahani. Why would you listen to the second two witnesses? You can believe the first two witnesses. And at least under certain circumstances then, where they're both saying the woman and the yavam, saying, no, we're certain that this is not the husband, and therefore we do believe that the husband is dead, they're allowed to be somech on the first witnesses that the husband is dead. So that can't be what the case is talking about. And furthermore, even if it is talking about two versus two, so then why are you telling me Avlad Rishon Yahun Mamzer, Vod Mamzer, Sofik Mamzer? It's not a Vade Mamzer, it's a Sofik Mamzer. Two witnesses say that the husband's dead, so then it's not a Mamzer, it's only a Sofik Mamzer. You're going to tell me they weren't careful, they used Mamzer and then Sofik Mamzer, they weren't so careful, and it really meant the Sofik Mamzer. That's not true, because keep on reading in the Mishnah. Remember, we had three sets of cases in the Mishnah, and in the third set, and it said that in that situation, when the husband had died, according to the testimony of a single witness, and then two other witnesses came along and said, no, when that single witness said that your husband was dead, he wasn't dead yet, but knew then, Taki, he did die afterwards, so then any children before the second set of witnesses are Mamzerim, Arishu Mamzer. However, Achron ain't a Mamzer. There the children aren't Mamzerim. So you see that they were dark. They were specifically talking about Mamzer or not a Mamzer, not a question of whether it was a Suffolk Mamzer. Achron ain't a Mamzer. Shlamino davka kitani. So you see that the Mishnah, and if it's in the third set, it's in the first and second set as well, is being very specific. And when they're using the Lashon of Mamzer, they mean Mamzer and not Suffolk Mamzer. So therefore, it can't be talking about two witnesses came and contradicted the two witnesses that came. Ella what? Ella lav shmamino chad. The two witnesses came and contradicted the eid echad. And therefore, the time of the also betray achashuha. It's only because two witnesses came that they weakened that statement of the first witness. Halavachi, if it wasn't for the fact that two witnesses came, we would have believed the single witness in the case of Yibam Mehemon. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah says, arayah from our Mishnah, we do in fact allow the woman to be miyabim, she's allowed to go and have yibam, even based upon a single witness who said that her husband had never passed away, childless. That's version number one. Now, the gears that we have is v'iku de amar, but as we pointed out previously, and many have the gears of v'iku de amre over here. Seems that there was a discrepancy in the text. In any event, v'iku de amre, according to the second version, this was the question that they asked. Halal tibay loch. You shouldn't ask over here whether a single witness is believed to allow the woman to go and marry a yavam, because dafilu ihinami mehemna. Never mind, you have a single witness. If she says my husband died, we allow her to have yibam. Where do we see this? The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah that we'll learn in a week or two later on in the Masechta. We're getting close to Baruch Hashem, the end of this beautiful Masechta. Dafilu ihinami mehemna to say the Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, the Ayisho Sharma Meis Bali. If a woman says my husband died, Tinase, she's allowed to get married based upon her own testimony. And in fact, Meis Bali. And she says her husband died, and he died childless, and there's a brother. Tisyabeb, she's even allowed to go and marry this person who would otherwise be an Eishes Ach, and if it's not the Malka Mitzvah, it would be an Issachares. So we believe her. So if we believe her, we're certainly going to believe a other person as a single witness. So then what's the question? Kiti Bailoch, the question is, Lemishre Yavom Eliyama. The question is, would she be allowed to go and marry somebody else? If she were to say that the husband had passed away, but only afterwards did the child pass away, and therefore she's not Muchuyevis in Yibam Mechalitza, she's Muteris Lashuk. So do we believe her or a single witness in that situation to say that the husband passed away before the child? The Mishra Yavom Eli Alma. And the question is as follows. Why Taimod Yed Echad? This is similar to the first version. What's the reason that we accept it normally a single aid? Because Mishum de Milsa David Legluya Lomashaker. Hochanami Lomashaker. Just like in general, we say that nobody would lie about something that could easily come and be proven wrong. So if he says the husband is dead, then a week later the husband comes, he's going to look like an idiot. So he will be considered a liar by everybody. So therefore, that's why we accept an Eid Echad, because he won't say it unless he's sure. So to over here, we believe the Eid Echad to say that the Yavama is Muteris Lashok, because Lo Meshaker. Or do we say, no, the reasoning is, the reason why we accept an Eid Echad is because, Bishum Di'i Daiko Mitzvah, because under normal circumstances, she won't listen to the Eid Echad unless she really checks it out. And only once she really checks it out, Umitzvah, then she'll get married. But here, we're going to say the opposite of what we said in the first version. Here, she's not going to check it out. She's just going to believe him, because the Misnohu, and we turn to Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, the Sanyole. Here, we go the opposite. We say that she doesn't like her brother-in-law. She's been with him for a couple of years in the family gatherings, and she doesn't like him. He's a loudmouth. He's a bad guy. So she hates him. And therefore, I'm not getting married to this guy, so I'll believe this guy that says that I'm not Mukhoyevis and Yibum Chalitza, and this is Eishizok Shalobimach Mitzah, and I don't have to marry him. Again, before we said she might like a brother-in-law, here we say she might hate a brother-in-law. Both are plausible. And therefore, each one in its separate situation has to be a concern. So that's the question. Do we say Lo Meshaker, and therefore we accept a single witness, or do we say it's only because of Daiko Mitzvah, and here, maybe she won't be sold with a Daik, because she doesn't want to marry the guy. So here, Rav Sheshes gives the following answer. Amalei Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Tinisua, our Mishnah, Amalei Meis Balach, in the case where they said that your husband died, and only after was Vachachach Meis Benech, and therefore, you're allowed to be Muteris Lashuk, and Venissa, so she goes and marries Lashuk, and doesn't do Yibim Chalitz, because she thinks it's B'makom Eshein Mitzvah. And then only afterwards, they come and say, no, it was the opposite. And in fact, your child died first, Nebuch, and then the husband died, and you were Mechuyevis in Yibum Mechalitza. And therefore, in this situation, Tetzei, this Brisa of Paschim like Rabbi Akiva, that says that even though there's only a, quote, lav for this woman who's Shomeris Yavim, waiting to be taken to Yibum, and she marries somebody else, it's only a lav, but according to Rabbi Akiva, this is a prohibited marriage, the Kiddushin Aron Chal, and the children will be Mamzerim. So therefore, Teitzei, Vavlad Risho, Vachru Mamzer. So therefore, we say in this situation that Nebuch, her marriage is not a real marriage, because she married Lashuk, wasn't allowed to marry her, and the children are Mamzerim. Now again, Rav Sheshes says, Hey Chidami, what exactly are we talking about over here? Ilei Motrei Motrei, if we're talking about that there were two witnesses that said that the husband died, and then two witnesses came along and said that the husband is not dead, so then, my chaz is a Samchei Hani, Smochani, then why are we listening to the first two pairs, two witnesses? Why don't we listen to the second pair of witnesses? So that can't be it. And furthermore, behold, as we said before, Mamzer, it uses the Lashon of Mamzer, it would only be a Safek Mamzer, who? Because you have two witnesses saying that it's not a Mamzer. So therefore, it's only a Safek Mamzer. Ah, you're going to tell me then the Tana of the Mishnah wasn't so careful, V'chitem lo dog, but we already pointed out from the third section of the Mishnah that the Tana was very medaktik. Homi diktoni seifa, harisha mamzer v'achud eno mamzer, in the situation where the witness came along and said that your husband died, and then two witnesses came along and said, no, he wasn't dead at that point in time, he only died later on, so then the first children are mamzer, harisha mamzer, but the children born after that, v'achud eno mamzer. So you see, shmamino v'davkot toni, that he was very medaktik. And therefore, you can't say that it should have, it said mamzer, but it meant sophic mamzer. So therefore, what are we talking about? It can't be trey or trey. Elo lav chad. It's talking about a single witness came along and said that her husband died. And yet, what do we see? It's only because two witnesses came along and contradicted him. That's why he's no longer believed. Implication being, if there weren't two witnesses contradicting him, we would believe him, even to allow the woman to go and marry Lashuk. So therefore, Rav Sheshes says, here you can clearly see that we believe a single witness, even for Yibam or Muteris Lashuk. The Mora says, no, that's not a good raya. In fact, it could be talking about Trey or Trey, not like Rosh Hashanah says, it's talking about Chad, a single witness. If it's talking about Trey or Trey, why are you believing the first group and not the second group? So the Mora says, because this is a classical case of Edim Zomimim. Chedomah Ravacha Bar Minyumi. Ravacha Bar Minyumi said, we're dealing here with Edi HaZomah. We're dealing with Edi HaZomah. Edi HaZomah are believed, this is Xeris HaKosov, that we believe the second group that said, hey, how could you testify that this occurred in New Orleans at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday? You were with us in New York on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. And therefore, the Torah tells us we believe the second group that says, Imanu Yisim, you were with us and you couldn't have seen what you said you're claiming to see. So, Be'edi Azama, so therefore, we believe the second group and not the first group, Halchanami Be'edi Azama. So here too, we're talking about Edi Azama came, and therefore, you can't bring me a raya over here. What would be the din? Do we believe in Eid Echad for Yibam to say that she could be Miyabim, or do we believe in Eid Echad to say that she's Muteris Lashuk?
It's a very short share so far today, so I'm going to go a little weiter. See if we get down to the Mishnah and pick up an extra half of the daf over here to help with Shavuos still for people that will have trouble listening on Matzei Shavuos. We've already caught up for Shavuos itself, but people that may have trouble catching up for Matzei Shavuos at night and ending late, we'll see if we can get a little bit more ahead. So we continue in the Gemara trying to find a source for the fact that we believe the Eid Echot to say that the Yavama's husband has, in fact, not died childless, and therefore she's Muteres Lashuk and doesn't fall Yibam. So we bring it from the following statement, Omalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi, or Amalei Rav Achal Ravashi, one of these two great Rabbanim, Rav Mordechai or Rav Achal, said to Ravashi, let's bring a raya from the following Mishnah, and learn it later in the Masechta. Toshma, we learn in that Mishnah, Eino Isha Nemenes Lomar Meis Yavami She'enose. In that Mishnah, it says a woman is not believed to say that her Yavim has passed away, and therefore she doesn't fall Yibam Chalitza. There was only one Yavim, Shimon, and she states that Shimon died. And therefore, while her husband died childless, she would normally fall to Shimon. She states that Shimon is dead, so we don't believe her to say this. Likewise, below Meisa Achosi, a woman isn't believed to say that her sister died, that she should be able to go and marry her brother-in-law, her sister's husband. Below Meisa Achosi, Shekonis Levesa, and she's not believed in this situation, say that her sister died, and now she's mutter to marry, muteris to go and marry her sister's husband, which would normally be an isser of erva of achos ishto, which now she says doesn't apply because her sister is dead. So the Gemara implies from that, he nihi de lo behemna. She herself is not believed, but the implication is an eid echod is believed. Eid echod mehemun. So let us bring a raya from that Mishnah that an eid echod is believed to go and say that the woman, the yavam, passed away and the woman is muteris l'shuk. Someone says that's not a good raya. L'tameh, according to what you just said, keep on reading that Mishnah. Ema Sefer, go scroll down to the end of that Mishnah where it says, Eino Ish Neman, a man is not believed to say Lomar, Meis Ochi, that his brother passed away, and now the brother died childless, and therefore the widow, his sister-in-law, his dead brother's wife, is Mechuyevis to have Yibum with him. So he's not believed to say, Eino Ish Neman Lomar, Meis Ochi, Sha'ayabem Es Ishto, and now I'm going to take her in Yibum. Likewise, he's not believed. Lo Mesa Ishti, a man is not believed to say that his wife passed away. She esu es achosa, and now I'm permitted to go marry her sister. Again, the implication there would be who nihu de lo mehemon ho eid echad min heaven. The implication from that would be if you're saying like in the Reisha, that was the implication that he is not believed, but that would imply that an eid echad is believed. But that's not true. Bishlamo gabi isha, we understand why a woman is allowed to go and accept a single witness to say that her husband passed away, Mishumiguna, because the rabbis were so concerned that she would then be unable to ever prove that her husband passed away, and we have an Eid Echad, even a non-kosher Eid Echad, even Eid Mipi Eid, even a Shivcha, or an Eved, we allowed because of Mishumiguna, because we're so concerned that she'll be a chained woman, that she will be never able to go get married, so Akilu Bar Rabbanim, there the rabbis made a heter. But in this situation, what heter should be? Elagabi Ish? So, what are you going to say over here? Michael Amemar. So he won't marry his wife's sister. Nishka Felech. There are all these other people in the world. Tosu says, why didn't we bring a raya from the previous case, the same situation, where the woman says that her sister died and now she's mutter and muteris to go and marry her former brother-in-law, her sister's husband. So she's not believed there. Why don't we say in that situation that there is no iguna situation? So why don't we bring the raya from there? Because she is free to marry anybody else in the world. So Tosus points out an interesting thing. It says, a woman has trouble sometimes getting married. And here, this person would marry her, so therefore it's also Mishumiguna, and that's why we didn't give that as a raya. Instead, we gave the case over here as a raya. But what do we see in this situation? That you can't bring us a raya that an Eid Echad is believed from the implication that we don't believe the wife, we don't believe the husband over here, we don't believe these two, the man or the woman, so therefore we would believe an Eid Echad. You can't bring me a raya. So the Gemara says, Eloki Yitzrach. So what do we need the Mishnah to tell us that the woman is not believed to say that her Yavin passed away? That's L'Rabbi Akiva Yitzrach. You need that for Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that if you're waiting Yibam, if you're a Shomeris Yavam, you're waiting to have Yibam, and you were to get married to somebody else, that would be a lav, the Kedusha wouldn't be Tovsin, and the Chum would be a Mazeru. So Rabbi Akiva Yitzrach, you need for Rabbi Akiva, because Sol Kedai Dechamin, I might have thought, hold, I'm a Rabbi Akiva, Yesh Mamaz B'chaybi Labim, Eimo Chaisho Akil Kula. The only reason Rabbi Akiva says that there's a mamzer by Chayav Elavim is because we're concerned over here that the woman is going to not want to be ruined herself, akil kula, of herself. Now, the Bach says we delete the word azara. That's the incorrect reading, and this goes in accord with Rashi's preferred shot, and we don't read the other words that are in parentheses as well, according to Rashi's preferred shot. And what the reasoning is therefore, when do we say that the woman is concerned and we allow her to get married is when there'll be a kilkel for the woman. V'daika, because in this situation, since there's a kilkel on her, she's going to be very, very careful. V'daika, and only then will be minsava. However, kamash v'lag, so that kind of teaches us that no, that is not the case over here. She's not believed in this situation to say that her yavam died, because maybe she has an intrinsic dislike for this yavam, and therefore she's willing to say, even though it could lead to a kilkel for her, she's willing to say that he's dead. And therefore, that's what you need this for, the Rabbi Akiva Yitzchak, that even though there's going to be significant consequences for her, we have to be concerned that she may be lying and saying that the oven died because she doesn't want to fall Yibam to that person that she doesn't like. And that's the proper way to read this according to Rashi's preferred pshat. We just read it, Eimel Chaisha Akilkula V'daika. And therefore, Kamash Malon here, that we don't say that because of the concern that she may not like this Yavam and is willing to say something, and she will in fact say something that's not true, that the Yavam is dead, in order just to get around not having to marry him. Again, that's Rashi's preferred shot. We read it with the changes in the Bach, and that which we have in the parentheses over here, as the Masoros HaShas says, Ein Zeh, we don't read that, and that's the way we'll leave it for now. So we still don't have a proof that Eid Echad is Neman in regards to the Yavam. Rav Amar, Rav gives the following reasoning. He says, Eid Echad Neman Yavam, we Kavach Homer. It should be a Kavach Homer that we leave the Eid Echad to say that she is allowed to go and be Misyabe. Why is that? Because Le'isr Kares Hitarta, we believe the single witness to say that her husband is dead and she can go marry somebody else. Now that would be adulterous. That would be a situation of a Chiv Kares if she marries somebody else while she's still married to her first husband, and yet we believe the Eid Echad. So certainly over here, Le'isr Lav Ulkoshike. So certainly when it's only quoted Isr Lav, say that the oven passed away, it's only a lab. So granted, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's serious. There will be a mamzer, but at the same time, if we believe the Eid Echad for a Karis Isser, we certainly should believe him for a lab Isser. That's what Rava wants to say. However, the Gemara says, not such a great Kavach Homer. One of the Talmidei Chachamim said to Rava, he asked with Tochiach, I'll show you that that's not true, from the following. Dila Isser Karis Hitarta. She herself is believed to say that her husband passed away, and she can get married. Nevertheless, Lisa Lavo Itarta. But for her to say that her Yavam passed away, that we don't believe her. And that's only a Lav for her to go marry outside her Yavam. So for the Yisra Karis, we believe her. For the Yisra Lav, we don't believe her. So therefore, your Kavach Homer is no good. I, Veli, my time alone, ma'am. So then why don't we believe her in the situation with the Yavam? It seems like we would have had a good Kavach Homer. Again, for the reason that we already mentioned, the Kivan, the Zimnin, the Sanyale, because she may not really like this brother-in-law, and therefore she says, I ain't marrying him, and she's going to lie. And therefore, we don't allow her to get married. It's as if Lo Dai Kominso, she doesn't really check it out, and gets married anyway, because she doesn't like the guy. So too, we have the same Svara with an Eid Echad. Eid Echad Nami, the Kivan, the Zimnin, the Sanyale, Lo Dai Kominso. So too, when the Eid Echad says that the oven passed away, maybe we could argue that we don't accept the Eid Echad in that situation because she dislikes the brother-in-law so much that she's going to go and accept this without really checking it out. And the whole reason we allow her to believe in Eid Echad is because Daika and then Minsava. But here, there's really no Daika because she doesn't like the guy. Okay, finally we come to the conclusion of the last Mishnah. Where we say, we quoted, Zem Midrash, Doresh, Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh v'chulei, Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh darshan the Pasuk, Isha Grusha Mei Isha. And he said that means that it's only if she gets a gerishin from her husband, Mei Isha, that she's psula lakuna. But if she got a get from somebody else, then it doesn't possible for the kohen. So that was the drasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh made. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, Havalei Rabbi Elazar lemedrash bei marganisa bedarish bei chaspa. There was a much better drasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh could have said. Instead of saying a pearl, he said only a shard of pottery. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Marav doesn't like the drasha from Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseh. He says it was a better drasha to make. What was the better drasha to make? My marganisa. Tanya, because we have an abraisa, this pasuk we darshan v'isha grusha me'isha comes to teach us afilu nuskarish ela me'isha. If her husband said you're divorced, but you're not permitted to marry any other man, so that's not a good gerushin. A divorce has to be a total separation between the husband and the wife. So when he gives it a get, it has to be with no strings attached, so to say. There could be a t'nai, but once the t'nai is fulfilled, there are no more strings attached. And therefore, he can't say, well, you're divorced from me, and you can marry everybody but Yanko. So then, that's not a good get. That doesn't totally separate her from her husband. So likewise, if he says, certainly, you're a divorced woman, but you're not allowed to marry anybody, so then that's not a good gerushin. So that's the marganisa, the Yudam Arav says you should learn from over here. This teaches us, afilu l'niskar she'ela me'isha, that it's not a good get, obviously, but nevertheless, pesula lakuna, you're not allowed to marry a kohen. There's a reyach of a get here. V'hainu reyach a get, the posel bakuna, that the bigger chiddush would have been to say that in this situation where it's not really a valid get, but at the same time, it is considered enough of a valid get that she's not allowed to go and marry a kohen. She's pesula lakuna. Baruch Hashem, we got ahead another half of a daf, and with this we conclude today's shir.